out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 13th. It's Friday the 13th of April 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Of course, Friday the 13th is supposed to be unlucky for us, but it was actually Friday the 13th that Jacques de Molay, the leader of the Templars, the leader of the usurious banking system, was executed. And that's, I believe, where we get the idea from that it's unlucky, but it's not actually unlucky for us. It was unlucky for the Freemasons, the Templars, the Jews, and the bankers. So perhaps Friday the 13th is actually going to be lucky for us. Anyway, today I thought I would talk a little bit about race mixing. I did a back to basics series last week, and we covered why white has to mean white, why we can't allow Jews into the movement, why homosexuality cannot be tolerated, and why we need to put a stop to usury. And those are main points. But race mixing is also an important point, and the results of race mixing, because there really isn't a lot of information about it available unless you're actually looking at nationalist sites. And this is a bit of a shame, really, because there are a lot of half-castes about, and the only way they can find truthful information about themselves is by looking at nationalist sites. And of course, then they are going to read a lot of negative information, which is going to, you know, have a negative psychological impact upon them. And that really cannot be helped. Really, this information needs to be publicly available, because most people just aren't aware of it. They just don't think of it. You know, I know I've had conversations with white people that have been involved in non-white relationships, and they haven't been nationalists. And I've pointed things out to them, and they just never even thought of it. They literally think that we all originally came from Negroes anyway. We all originally came out of Africa, so it doesn't matter if we interbreed together, and they think that they're going to get a nice, smooth blend. They're going to get an attractive child with a permanent suntan. They don't realize that what happens, because you've got two completely different races there, you don't get a smooth blend. You don't get a smooth mix of characteristics. You get a discordant mix. When you race mix, you shatter the genome. So you end up getting bits of one race and bits of the other, rather than a smooth blend of the two, such as you might end up with a child with pale skin but with a flat nose, or you might end up with a child with pale skin but with an afro, or with a negroid skeleton but with pale skin. Now, I've known a pass for white. Now, in America, they had different racial categories. They had mulatto, quadroon, octoroon, pass for white. And the term pass for white wasn't actually saying this man now passes for a white person. It was saying that this man now passes for a white person with regards to voting rights, because they certainly don't look white. I mean, this pass for white that I knew, he had a negroid skeleton. And he was white, but he was a negro shape. He had a white shaped skull, but his proportions were all wrong. He had like gorilla type proportions. And there are so much more difference between us than just the skin color. And the hands, for instance, if you look at a Negro's hands, they have these long, spindly fingers. If you look at their ankles, the ankle bones are halfway up the leg, and the ankle bit like sticks out at the back, unlike in white people. Then you get the Negro type with the heavy, thick-set bones. I mean, there are various different Negro types, and they make a very, very discordant mix with white people. Of course, over centuries, if you have a whole nation that becomes mixed, then they can become relatively smooth, such as with Arabs. But even with the Arab nations, you get a vast range of skin colors and facial characteristics where they are still discordant. And don't forget, the word Arab just means mongrel race. That's where it originates from, the Hebrew word that means that. And another thing that people don't think about, they think, well, we could, these mongrels, we could have a breeding program, and we could gradually, turn them back into white people again. But that just isn't possible. DNA tests prove that isn't possible. DNA tests can tell if you've got, non-white DNA going back generations and generations and generations. This isn't to say sometimes when they say that you've got a small amount of Negro DNA that it isn't a mistake. Sometimes that happens because they are talking about such small amounts and there is that margin of error, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it is actually possible to tell if somebody has non-white DNA going back 1,000 years. I mean, that's at least 10 generations and it's still there. So it can't be bred out. And each time you do try to breed that out, that means that's a white person that hasn't been born. Instead of a white man going with a white woman, the white man has gone with the light-skinned mongrel and produced another light-skinned mongrel. So that's one less white person that is born for every time that you try to lighten the skin of a mongrel. And that's all that can really be done is just lighten the skin. And occasionally the chances are that there will always be a throwback and you'll get a dark-skinned one as well. I know people that have looked fairly white, fairly fair-skinned, and then they've had a black child, and the DNA tests have been done, and yes, it was from that white-looking couple, and it went back to a Negro in the woodpile from a few generations back, and they had this throwback. And the same thing can happen with Negroes. You can have Negroes that can have a fair-skinned child, and it's due to a throwback to interbreeding with a white person from a few generations back. There's a thing called Mendelian inheritance, which shows that when you crossbreed two types together, they don't blend. They split. It shatters. And there are, and people say, well, I mean, to add a Christian side to this, people say, well, couldn't God fix that in the afterlife or whatever? But you would end up, if you were to take out the non-white DNA or take out the non-white part of a person, then you would only have 95% of a person left or 90% of a person left. So it's not actually possible. I mean, one analogy that you could use for this is a Windows computer with Apple software on it. It's not going to work. It's not going to function right. I mean, what we have here is biracial people or split racial people. It's almost like schizophrenia. If you think schizophrenia is somebody with two different characters, you've got two different racial characters within one being. And a dog cannot have two masters. If we look at the life expectancy of at birth, we also find that people that are race mixed have a much higher infant mortality rate, about 25% more mortality rate. Their actual genetic integrity is much weaker than ours is. They find it very, very hard to find organ transplants. I mean, sometimes they cannot even find organ transplants within their own family because there is literally no other people on earth that have the same genetic code as them. They will never be able to find a bone marrow transplant if they need it. They will have problems finding blood transfusions. And this is another thing that you don't hear about. Blood transfusions and blood types go by race. This is why medical companies are calling for Negroes to donate blood. They need more Negroes to donate blood. They need more Negroes to donate organs, because you cannot just chop and change organs from one race to another. And if you have a mixed race, obviously that is going to cut down substantially on the amount of people that look similar. In fact, you're not going to get anybody that is exactly similar, as you would do if you were talking about transplanting organs from one race back into within that race. It's a much easier and simpler thing to do. I mean, the body is going to reject the organs of another race. And you can look at the animal world, and, you know, I mean, sometimes people will say, ah, yes, but different breeds of dog interbreed with one another. But looking at dogs isn't the right way of doing this. Looking at the races of man, it's much more accurate to look at the different species of whale. And you wouldn't get a humpback whale breeding with a sperm whale. You wouldn't get a blue whale breeding with a pilot whale. You do have these different types of whale. They're all whales. Obviously, we're all human beings, but we have separate races within humanity, within the species of human. We have these subspecies, the same as within whales. We have subspecies of whales, and they don't interbreed with one another. Now, sometimes people might say, ah, yes, but when white people breed with blacks, the offspring is viable. Well, the offspring is viable in certain types of animal. They're not always mules. Obviously, you do get mules, and you get the liger, which cannot breed, but they can breed goats, certain types of goats and sheep together, and they produce viable offspring. There are other types of animal that can breed together and produce viable offspring. They wouldn't breed together normally, I hasten to add. It's only because this has been done by man to try and change the product that the animal can produce. So the fact that we can breed with these other races doesn't mean that we should breed with them. And then you have to think about the problems that are caused for the offspring not having anyone in their family that actually looks like them. Kids love to be able to say, look, don't I look like grandfather, or don't I look like my aunt, don't I look like my uncle? And these poor wretches, they look in the family photo album and they don't see anybody that looks like them. Then you've got the skin problems that are caused by it. I mean, the Negro race have completely different skin to the white man. It's more like a hide than actual skin. It doesn't produce the oils that the white man does. That's why Negroes have to smother themselves in coconut oil, and they have to put oil in their hair. The hair is completely different. It doesn't have the oil follicles that the white man's hair does. The Negro, as I say, is more like a hide. It has an antiseptic quality to it. And this is why Negroes run around naked in the wilds. They were never intended to have clothes. They have, they are protected from the environment by the thick skin that they have. And it really has to be the most wicked and evil thing that has ever been done to creation, to encourage the interbreeding between people and creating bastards. And when you think the white race used to be the majority. At least 80% of the world's population used to be white, and we are now down to 8%. And the reason for that is this interbreeding with the dark races. You can look at countries like India, countries like Egypt, and exactly the same thing happened there that is happening today in white countries. They allowed in these non-whites, the caste system broke down, and there was interbreeding. And then quite obviously, they thought, well, this isn't good. We need to try and get these people back to being white again. And that just isn't possible. All that happens is you end up turning the whole nation brown. And it is a very sad thing, but we have to just cut these people off. There is nothing that can be done about it. It's very sad. It's a tragedy. All we can do is hope to prevent other people from making that same mistake. Now, the human male will breed with whatever females are in his territory. And this is what is the problem here, is that we have these other creatures within our territories, within our lands, and we will breed with them, and they will try to breed with us. The mating rights with the female come with being in that territory. So what this boils down to is us allowing them into our countries. What we see happening with the interbreeding is a natural occurrence of having these creatures within our territory, which is why years before in the past, when this happened, we had a caste system. If you look at India, they had a caste system, and the untouchables were the ones with dark skin, the ones with white skin. There was four different castes: priestly caste, warrior caste, kingly caste, farmer caste, I think similar different types. And they had the untouchable caste, which was black, or the dark-skinned caste. And they couldn't even go in the same shops, couldn't go in the same places, and the untouchables were to do all the dirty and grotty jobs. And what happened? The Muslims invaded, and the Muslims got rid of the caste system, and there was interbreeding, and it ended up destroying India. You got the same thing happen in Egypt. You originally had a white caste system. You had a white aristocracy, and they brought in black slaves, and they ended up interbreeding with the black slaves, and they ended up blending themselves out. And the same's happened in South America. You can see it there today. That is still happening today. The Pope ended up saying that the Indians were just the same as us, and if we could convert them to Christianity and they were Christians, then it was fine to interbreed with them. And the Spanish didn't bring over women for the men that were there, and the men ended up breeding with the Indians. So now the whole of South America is pretty much gone. You've still got a few pockets of white people. And that's the reason why South America has not succeeded in the way that North America has. South America is far richer in mineral wealth. The landscape itself has far more materials that can be used. And yet it's third world. And that's the reason why it's the third world, is because they lost the genetic integrity of the whites, and the caste system broke down. So the brown people destroyed South America, and now they are on their way invading North America to destroy North America. Another source of this problem is the idea of vanquishing your foes and then taking their women. We vanquished the Red Indians, or they did in South America, and then they bred with the women. And this goes on. This is what the non-white races do amongst each other. They take the women. And we saw the same after the Second World War with the Soviet hordes that raped the German women. We see the same with the Arab hordes. When the Arabs invade a country, they rape the women and try to destroy the genome. But that doesn't work for white people. If we subjugate a people and then interbreed with them, it doesn't turn them white. It just creates a higher IQ'd enemy to fight against us. It just ends up creating more of the enemy. So our urges to do that, and our soldiers' urges to do that, end up backfiring on them. We cannot respond to the non-whites in the same way that they respond to us. We have to keep away from breeding with them. And this is the reason why 80% of the world is now brown and only 8% of the world is white, is because of all this interbreeding that's gone on. If it worked the other way around, because the white man has always been the winner, he's always been the conqueror. Don't forget, we conquered America, we conquered Australia, we conquered New Zealand. Yet those countries are not all white. White people are gradually dwindling in the population numbers, and more brown people are appearing. So when we conquered them, we didn't interbreed with their women and turn them into white people. We conquered them, interbred with them, and just created a higher IQ enemy. When whites breed with blacks, the IQ is raised by 10%. So whites interbreeding with other races, it is always of benefit to the other races. That's why they are desperate to breed with us and interbreed with us. The height of beauty is the white woman, is the Aryan woman. That's the paragon of beauty for all the other races in the world, as well as the white race. So if they are given a chance, that is what they will do. And then, of course, that makes us furiously angry. But the way to respond to that is not to sleep with their women, because it just has the exact same result as if they were sleeping with our women. You just end up with brown people. And then there's a concept, a relatively new concept, that it's perfectly fine to sleep with non-whites if you're not going to be producing children with them. And this is just putting temptation there where there need be no temptation. If you're going to be sleeping with somebody who isn't white and thinking, oh, it's perfectly fine because we're not going to have kids, if you're sleeping with someone, you could end up falling in love with them. It would be a false love. It would be an unequal love. And I would suggest that people that feel this don't really know what love is. But you're still putting that temptation there. There's always the chance that the non-white is going to deliberately get themselves pregnant as well. They're going to deliberately create a bastard. And the chances are, a lot of the time when they create these bastards, they also leave it to the white man to look after. And these mixed race people, because they get rejected by the black community, they get rejected by the Chinese community. The relatives of the non-white are not that interested. And because we have so much altruism, which is supposed to just be directed towards our own people, but because it gets directed outwards, a lot of the time it ends up being the white woman or the white man that ends up taking on this non-white child. The non-white child then imprints on the white family. Sometimes they grow up thinking that they are white, and they have quite a shock when they realize that they aren't. They end up imprinting on the white person. They end up being attracted to white people, wanting to have a white partner. And it just never ends. And you have generation after generation of brown people just created by this one perverse act of sleeping with another race. And it really is sleeping with the enemy. If you want to take it further than that, you've also got the fact that if you are sleeping with somebody, you're exchanging DNA with them. You are exchanging DNA with the enemy, exchanging DNA with one of these filthy, filthy races. I mean, they are absolutely filthy. I was coming back from a conference that I went to at the weekend, and unfortunately there was a negress in front of me with one of these horrible, horrible weaves. Weaves are just bit like bits of string, tatty bits of string that have been stitched into the Velcro afro. And this grotty negress in the front of me, it was horrible to see. She was pawing around with her paws in this weave, digging around. It reminded me of a gorilla digging around in a tree stump for maggots. And this creature was just digging around in this weave, and I could just smell the stench of a sweaty scalp. I mean, they stitch these bits of string into their into their scalp, and they leave it there for 3 months without washing it. Of course, it gets itchy, and they dig around in it. And it's not like they're actually scratching it. They're sort of digging around in it and replacing it. And it really is like watching a gorilla's paw digging around for maggots. It was quite horrific. And you think somebody wants to sleep with that, and it's filthy. You do not want to be exchanging DNA with these creatures. When we think about even the positioning of the genitals are different between blacks and whites. There's a different degree of angle. So the actual position is different. The white man is more of a 45 degree angle, and the Negro is at more of a 90 degree angle to the body. And obviously the female genitals of the Negress are also positioned in a slightly different way. So it should be obvious to anyone sleeping with them that this is not natural. This is not what should be occurring. But I guess we are so used to ignoring our instincts now, with all the brainwashing to put up with these non-whites and that they are the same as us, that this niggling doubt just gets squashed by people, especially if they are in the height of lust and passion. But really, they should be thinking this is sick. What you're actually doing, sleeping with non-whites, is, you know, it's akin to sleeping with animals. And the effects of it, if they end up becoming pregnant and producing offspring, the effects of it are going to last forever. That dirt is never going to be able to be got out of the DNA. It's going to be there forever, polluting them. It doesn't matter how much they try to scrub themselves, they are never going to get that clean. And it's an absolute tragedy. You think of the poor kids that are born like that, that they could have been born white. I mean, you think how angry and furious you would be at your parents knowing that you could have been born white if they hadn't have been so perverse. And one way that this can be looked at is you could point out to people that are doing this. You could say, look how much money Negroes spend on beauty products to try and make themselves look white. And look how much money they spend on these weaves and on these wigs to try and give them the appearance of having hair. Look at how much money they spend on skin whitening cream. Look at how much money they spend on plastic surgery to try to give themselves a more human-looking nose. And you think that you have a half-caste child, that they are going to be thinking, I could have been born white. I could have been born looking like my mother. And yet you chose to breed with this ape and curse me with this black skin when I could have been white. And these people, they must really hate their parents. They must be really psychologically unstable, because obviously you've been brought up by these parents. You want to love them, and yet at the same time, they've put this curse on you. And obviously the urge is to procreate and produce more of your own kind. And these half-castes are going to think, well, I've got to pass this curse on. If I do what every other creature on earth does and reproduce myself, I'm going to be handing on this curse to my offspring, and they're going to be handing it on to their offspring. It's horrific. What a horrific strait to find yourself in. What kind of a situation is that, where if you just do what everybody else does, you are harming your own children? And to think that, oh, love conquers all, and, oh, it's true love. It's not true love if it's going to be causing so much harm and damage to the offspring. We really should be shunning these people that are like this and making them aware of what the results of interbreeding are going to be for these children. And all you have to do is look at these statistics. And just looking at the statistics of white women with black males, they've got 8 times as much chance of being murdered by their partner as if they had a white partner. You've got all this violence that goes on. And if the Negro, if the white woman splits up with the Negro, then the temptation for the Negro is to spoil the white woman even more spoiled than she is and cut her up or throw bleach in her face or cause her some serious, serious damage. I mean, they're really violent with when they get a hold of these white women because they know that they're not equal. They're not equal to us in any way, shape or form. And then when you do get these half-castes, a lot of them, you know, they think there is hope, and you can't blame them for thinking that there is hope. And they're desperate to whiten themselves and get back to being a white person. So then they will try to breed with white people. And this is why you have them trying to infiltrate white nationalism, because they think that by doing that, they will show that they are an honorary Aryan. And they'll be allowed to breed with somebody white, and they can show that they're a nationalist and that they support white people. And they hope that if we get a white ethnostate, that they'll be partnered with somebody white and they'll be able to get back to being white again. And that just isn't possible. DNA tests prove that. And the other nations of the world prove that. India, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, South America, and all these places. If it was possible to turn people white again, these places would still be white, wouldn't they? And they're not. They're brown. Okay. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. I hope you all have a great weekend. God bless and hail victory.